from Matthew 13. We're beginning a series. We did some of the parables of Jesus last year. I want to do a few of the parables again this year because they're just the great stories with great truth. And the first one here is the parable of the mustard seed. Listen to these words of Jesus. So Jesus put to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nest in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning I want to think about that parable, the parable of the mustard seed. I know most of you have heard that parable before, but I want to really try to drill down and think about that parable, what it means to our hearts and lives this morning. Have you ever noticed that sometimes little things make a big difference? Just a little difference in a punctuation mark can make all the difference in the world. Here's some of the classified ads. You may have heard these before. And just a little thing makes a little difference. So, wanted, man to take care of cow that does not smoke or drink. Dog for sale, eats anything and is fond of children. Illiterate, write today for free help. Stock up and save, limit 1. Man wanted to work in dynamite factory, must be willing to travel. Semi-annual after Christmas sale. My daughter wishes Christmas came more than once a year. For sale, antique desk suitable for lady with thick legs and large drawers. Boy, was he in trouble with his wife. We do not tear your clothing with machinery. We do it carefully by hand. And last but not least, used cars. Why go elsewhere to be cheated? Come here first. You know, a small difference in a word or a punctuation mark can make all the difference and convey something completely opposite than what we intended. And so sometimes a little thing makes a big difference. One of the early rockets that went up, fortunately unmanned, had to be destroyed after midway on launch because as it went up in the computer software, the software writer had mistakenly put in a comma instead of a period, and that made all the difference in the world. So there's lots of different ways that could happen. And Jesus this morning tells us the story about something very small that makes a big difference in life. And when you think about that, you know, you think about the mustard seed as an image of our life of faith, and you wonder, what's really Jesus trying to convey in all of that? How does that picture us, the truths of our spiritual life and the life of the church and God's kingdom? And so I think there's a number of things that we can think about. And the first thing is that it starts small. You know, faith sometimes starts small, and sometimes we think about maybe dramatic lives of faith, or sometimes we think of big crusades or something like that, but the truth is sometimes that faith begins in a small, seemingly insignificant way, like a tiny mustard seed. And this morning we're celebrating our Sunday school teachers and the impact they make on our children's lives, and I don't know about you, but sometimes faith is planted by a small story told by a Sunday school teacher, or a Sunday school teacher just taking a moment and just with a word of love or encouragement to a young person and just inviting them and showing them God's love. And I don't know if you remember your Sunday school teachers, but I think probably maybe more than anyone else, my Sunday school teacher had a tremendous impact on my life, and his name was Junior Scott. I still remember it to this day. And Junior Scott was a farmer. And Junior Scott also worked second shift at the factory at night at Sunbeam Steel Mill. And he worked most of the night, and he got up before sunrise, and he was out there on a farm. And Junior, he didn't always stick to the lesson plan. Now, Mary Alice probably doesn't want me to say this. But Junior always took time to listen to our stories and what was going on in school. And Junior would always say, listen, you know, I'm busy, but I'm never too busy for you. And he'd say, you know, so you're having something and you want to just, or you just want to come out for a meal, whatever, come on out to the farm and we'll jump on the tractor, we'll ride around together. And I can't tell you how many times I did that. Just sitting there on the tractor with him, and we didn't have, I know this is some, we didn't have GPS back then. So this is before GPS. In fact, we didn't have a cover that went around the tractor. It was just open, and the tractor was kind of rough. So we're bouncing through the, you know, through the field there and sometimes hit a chuck hole or something like that. But, you know, Junior just have all the time in the world and afterwards say, well, come on up to the house, we'll get some ice cream. And I don't remember all the things that he said. But what I do remember is I remember his heart and what a difference that made for me. My father was not a Christian, so to have a guy that was a strong guy and just a guy with wisdom made a big difference in my life. And I have a lot to credit Junior. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but I thank him so much for the time that he was willing to spend. And he always did that in life. And sometimes he'd pick up a hitchhiker and take him home for dinner, let him sleep overnight in place. And I know he planted seeds in other people's lives. And you could probably think of other ways. Sometimes in a congregation, maybe just like those kids taking out the cross today to someone, so maybe somebody they didn't know, and just that gesture of kindness, that gesture of love, that willingness to give can plant a seed that can make all the difference in the world. And sometimes we think about all the wisdom and we think of maybe great debates or, you know, great books on Christianity. All those things are great, but sometimes a little gesture like that tiny mustard seed can make all the difference. I think, again, from that scripture passage that Gary read, it says, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before him. Think of the small ways that someone's done something in your life made all the difference and has sort of changed the trajectory of your life and what a difference that makes. And you think of a rocket that's going to go up later, hopefully. and if you just change it by just a degree or two, what a difference that makes when it's maybe a mile into the air and the difference. This one's not going to go a mile, but it's going to go a ways. But a little difference can make a big thing. And so Jesus is saying that we need to take a step of faith and plant a seed like that. So faith starts small, like a tiny mustard seed. Next thing is that faith grows strong. And sometimes it's just incremental. You can't see it. What happens if faith is to be nurtured and to make a difference in the world, then our faith that starts out like that mustard seed needs to grow strong. And, you know, sometimes you think about the mustard seed and it's small, but a mustard plant, actually, particularly the black mustard plant, can grow to 9 to 12 feet high. And so it can grow strong. And in a garden, it's the largest of that. And sometimes, too, you think about sharks. You know, I don't know if you get different fish, but, you know, if you get a shark, the shark that you buy at the pet shop, really, that you put in an aquarium is pretty much the same shark that you get in the ocean. The difference is that it can only grow as large as the environment will allow it to. And so it stays small in an aquarium because that's all the space that it has. And I think sometimes as Christians, we stay in a small aquarium. We're not willing to take a step of faith and to reach out and do something that sort of energizes us and allows us to grow stronger. You think sometimes of examples in the Bible of people of faith who struggled and because of their unwillingness to take a step of faith that their life was held back. And I think about the Israelites that wandered for 40 years in the wilderness and that weren't able to go into Promised Land because they didn't have the faith to take that step of faith and to follow God's leading until the next generation was willing to take that step of faith and cross the Jordan River and to take the Promised Land. And you think of the different ways that our lives grow. And Jesus says in John 10:10 says this, I have come that you might have life and have life abundantly, overflowing. And so God's will is that our life and our life of faith would be an abundant life, a life that grows strong and grows each and every day. And next thing is that faith reaches out. So it starts small and it grows strong and it reaches out. And, you know, I think sometimes we miss that part of this parable. I mean, the mustard seed not only grows up, but it also reaches out. His branches begin to reach out. And I think if we as individuals are to grow with our faith, like this mustard seed that Jesus challenges the disciples and others, then we need to be willing to not only grow up, but we need to be able to reach out. And sometimes we reach out to people that may seem different, and I love this, it's over there now, but that poster that Amy made and Who's a Christian? You know, sometimes we stay in our shell, in our box, and we forget that God works in all kinds of different people in all kinds of different ways, and that all those people are Christians. And so if we're to reach out, we never know the impact that we might have. And how do we reach out? It's not just in a little way. Reach out to someone we don't know. Reach out to someone who's different than us. Maybe tutoring at school is a way to do that, or maybe, you know, working in a food pantry, maybe working for Habitat for Humanity. There's all kinds of ways, but faith is to grow. It needs to reach out in some way. And sometimes that takes us out of our comfort zone because we think, well, we just have enough for ourselves. But the truth is we need to grow and we need to reach out. There's a wonderful true story, and this took place quite some time ago, back in 1932 in Nevada's Amargosa Desert. And someone found this note next to this old water pump, this rickety water pump that was there. And it says this: "This pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer in it, and it ought to last for 5 years. But the washer dries out, and the pump has got to be prime. Under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water out of the sun and cork end up. And there's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. Pour about 1/4 and let it soak into the wet leather. Then pour the rest medium fast and pump like crazy. You'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. When you get watered up, fill the water bottle and put it back like you found it. Signed, Desert Pete. P.S. Don't go drinking the water first. Prime the pump with it and you'll get all you can hold." You know, life is like that sometimes. You need to be able to share your faith, to reach out to someone out, to take a step of faith in order to go forward. Faith doesn't just stay with itself. It reaches out to others. The last thing is that faith offers support. You know, when you think about this parable of Jesus, this mustard seed that grew strong and it grew tall and then it reached out with its branches, then Jesus says this, that the birds of the air were able to rest in its branches. It's a symbol of strength. It's a symbol of not only reaching out, but there's something that we offer support to. And so as individuals, I think we need to do that. That when we grow in our faith and we grow stronger and we reach out, that others find support in us. Maybe that support's found in different kinds of ways, like that my Sunday school teacher, Junior Scott, just riding around the tractor, having sort of listened to whatever was on my mind at that time and the willingness to share in that. Or maybe it's other kinds of ways that you can find a way to share strength with others. I think it's also important as a church. You know, the ways that we offer support to others, the missions that we support and the missions that we're part of, the after-school program and so many other kinds of things. Even these guys over here cooking chicken, you know, that's a way to offer support for us later that we're going to enjoy. I love the story of the boy and the loaves and fishes. You know the story, but just to recap it, Jesus is out in the desert and he's teaching and didn't plan to have 5,000 people there, and all of a sudden disciples notice that the crowd is starting to get restless. And so they say, you know, the crowd is getting restless and maybe you should just dismiss them because they're pretty soon they're going to maybe riot or something and need something to eat. And Jesus challenges them and says, well, go find whoever has some food and bring it up. And they scour the crowd and the only thing they can find is a little boy with some loaves and fishes. And so he's willing to offer that to help others. And then Jesus blesses that and then he breaks it and gives it to disciples. Now, sometimes when we think about that miracle, we think, well, who fed the 5,000? Well, Jesus fed the 5,000, right? But it's not true. I mean, Jesus took the loaves and fishes from the little boy, and so the little boy was part of that. But after Jesus blesses it and breaks it and gives it to the disciples, and it looks like he gives each of them a basket, it was the disciples that passed out the food and kept multiplying, and the loaves and the fishes kept multiplying until the entire crowd was fed and there was baskets left over. And so Jesus included the disciples in that miracle. So it was actually the disciples that fed the large crowd after Jesus had blessed it. And I think that's the image of us as the church, that we give our loaves and fishes, whatever our gifts and talents are to God, and God blesses it and sort of breaks us sometimes and gives it back to us so that we can give it to others. God wants us to be part of that process. And as an individual and as a church, it's so important for us to do that. It's not how strong we are or how able we are. It's how strong God is and how able God is. And so today, when we think about this parable that Jesus challenges, I think, young and old alike with, this parable of the mustard seed, it starts small, it grows strong, it reaches out and it offers support. There's a great story I want to close with, two thoughts. And this woman who didn't believe in the resurrection in Hanover, Germany, left in her will that she was supposed to be buried in this crypt, and it was a sealed sort of concrete casket, and it was covered by the large granite rocks. And on the burial place, she was going to have this inscribed: "This burial place must never be open," because she thought that would protect her from the resurrection. Well, she passed away, and they followed her instructions, but unbeknownst to anyone, a small seed fell into the cracks of that rock, and it began to grow into a tree. And as that tree grew, then it gradually not only took the rocks away and pushed them aside, but it began to take the hinges of that casket and break them apart. And I think that's a challenge to us to think about, that the power of just a seed and the seed of faith, that that's a seed that can break through solid rock, that what can God's tiny mustard seed do in our hearts and lives? I'm going to close with this, just to think about gardening and the image that we have when we're outdoors. But this is something that someone put together called Gardening for God, and I think it goes with this idea of the mustard seed. So how do we garden for God, and how do we garden for good? Someone wrote this: plant 3 rows of peas. Peace of mind, peas of heart, peas of soul. Plant 3 rows of turnips. Turn up for meetings, turn up for service, turn up to help one another. Plant 4 rows of squash. Squash gossip, squash indifference, squash selfishness, and squash grumbling. And water freely with patience. Plant 4 rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful. Let us be kind. Let us be patient. Let us love one another. To conclude our gardening, we must have time, the great herb in the garden. Time for each other. Time for friends. And especially time for God and time for family. Do all that, cultivate with love, and there'll be much fruit in your garden, because what you reap, what you sow, so shall you reap. I challenge all of us to grow in our faith, to start as a tiny mustard seed that starts small, but to grow strong, to reach out and to offer support for one another and to those outside, that we can be the church and the people that God would have us be. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, this morning, we thank you for the incredible ways that you work in our hearts and lives. Sometimes we don't see those small moments of faith. We don't see the moments of faith that someone invests in our life, and yet years later our lives are impacted in a powerful and lasting way. And sometimes we don't think the things that we do, the little things, make much difference, but they do. Teaching a Sunday school or listening to someone, giving to others and giving to your mission in your church, or just using our gifts and talents each and every day, or just being a caring person or a listening heart, and the way we touch other people's lives. But those ways, your faith is planted in our hearts, and our faith can grow strong, and our faith can grow tall, and our faith can reach out, and our faith can offer support to others. So help us to be the church you'd have us to be. Help us to be a garden for good, a garden for your love that touches other people's lives. This day and always, we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.